Greetings, everyone, and welcome to this live Q&A session. I'm Robin Eichert, founder of PeopleSense Consulting and host of this Round Robin discussion. It's an interactive session giving you the opportunity to talk through your questions, ideas, and success stories of managing people in the workplace. It's the first of this monthly program, and I'm going to be hosting this hour every month, once a month, on the second Tuesday of every month, starting at 11 o'clock Eastern Time. So I want you to put it on your calendars and now plan to set aside the time so that we can talk through some situations that you're facing. I'll be recording each session, so even if you can't attend live, you can still benefit. And I want you to send in your questions ahead of time if you can, but if not, you can also ask live during the program. Either way is completely fine. But if you, as I said, if you can't be here and you want to send in the questions ahead of time, I'll work to address all that I can within that time frame, and then you can listen to the recording afterwards. So this round robin is a benefit available to those of you who are members of the Learning Resource Center at the Nurture level. And as you know, the Learning Resource Center is a membership-based reference center. It's got a library of video topics designed to help inform and inspire you to create healthy workplace relationships. This interactive session, called again the Round Robin, provides a time and opportunity for you to talk about the specific questions or situations that you are struggling with or want to brainstorm together with. Of course, we're going to be mindful and respectful of confidentiality, so therefore we're not going to reveal names or certain specifics, but when we open up the discussion about these situations, you'd be surprised at the trends that we find, and we're going to be able to find solutions and ideas that are going to be helpful not only to the person asking the question, but to everyone. Since this is the first round robin, I wanted to give you a quick overview of the Learning Resource Center. There are several categories of topics, including hiring, managing, and communicating. You'll be able to find videos specific to those particular areas of working with people in the workplace. For example, I walk through 10 essential steps in the hiring process, and there's a short video devoted to each of those steps. The managing and communicating categories, they cover a wide range of topics related to the interactions between and among managers, employees, and teams. And in addition, I've also taken a deeper dive, detailed look at the Profile XT assessment. There are four videos, and they're going to help you look at each of the 20 scales in detail so that you can apply them to results that you may have gotten using the assessments in your own organization. For those of you who have used the Profile Sales Assessment, the scales are the same, so that information is going to apply for you as well. So remember that in each month, new video titles are going to be added to the Learning Resource Center, so you'll want to check back in. These topics are built upon ideas that I get from you in my conversations or when I hear from you directly. So I encourage you to send along those ideas, questions, suggestions that you have for topics of interest. I really want to make the material useful to you and your employees, so you need to let me know what you'd like to see, and we'll make it happen. So since this is the first round robin, I'm going to be using questions that I've received within the last few weeks from clients. So let's get started with the first one. This question came to me from a small business co-owner. He's in a property management company, and they offer a wide range of services for commercial and residential properties. He's been with the company for about 6 years, and he's stepping into a new expanded leadership role, and he wants to make some key cultural changes in the organization. He said that one of his employees is really stubborn and just won't adjust to any change that he's trying to implement and attempt to bring to the organization new. This manager said to me, "I've just accepted that I have to ride this out until her retirement, which is in about 5 years. This manager has some authority in the hiring and firing decisions, but the ultimate employment decision lies with another one of the partners who has a majority ownership, and that particular owner does not want to terminate this person. He's looking at the contribution that the person has made over the long term and looking at the value that she's bringing currently, and frankly isn't as devoted, if you will, to the changes that this new manager is bringing to the table. So therefore, for him, he wants to keep this person on board, but it's really creating some resistance for everyone to move along with these cultural changes. And so therefore, he's just saying, oh, I'm going to have to live with it. I'm going to have to just ride this out. So there are several parts to the situation that it can apply in other organizations, such as when a manager has to work with a situation that they feel they have little or no control over. And then how do you work through that? And the other piece of this question stems from the manager's frustration of having someone resist change. And gosh, that's just so common. I hear about it all the time, and I'm sure you've faced it at multiple points along your way too in the workplace. But let's examine the first piece about being in a situation where you feel like you have little or no control. And some managers just have a tendency to throw up their hands and say, well, there's nothing I can do about it, and just let it ride. And then they can complain, and they use it as an excuse for non-performance. But I have a philosophy and a belief that all of us always have a choice, and we can positively impact a situation even when we don't have the ultimate authority over it. So instead of having a mindset of just riding something out, waiting for, the end to come, if you will, for whatever that time frame might be, that we need to find ways to help both parties work through it. And by both, I mean the employee and yourself. So one trick that I would recommend is to approach the situation with the mindset as if you do have control, because in fact you do. And I'm not talking about going into the conversation with a statement like, if it were up to me, you'd be gone. That's not what I mean by having the mindset that you have the authority of control, but rather I mean to broach the conversation with the curiosity about how to make it work for both of you. And there may be some compromise needed on both sides, and that's okay, but you can make it better by dealing with the situation. It's just never going to improve if you don't try and if you don't, don't attempt to work through it. And I have an example I can share from a different organization than this question cropped up from, but I was recently working with a team, and sort of a side situation came to light in that the receptionist at this organization was very well liked. She's very friendly, outgoing, talkative, social, and they appreciate that friendly nature that she brings and the easy way of talking with clients, whether it's on the phone or when they come into the office. They know she has a good rapport with them. They also realized that she had some extra time on her hands. There were, between calls and visits, she was sitting there idle. So, and they were feeling overwhelmed with her own workload. So they started giving her some additional assignments. She was doing well with this, and she, so well liked, and so felt like, wow, what a great thing. She can help us in other ways too. But they started giving her things that required a lot of attention to detail and more complexity outside of her known work skill. And she started failing at those tasks, and they weren't complete, they weren't timely, bucket load of issues that started to creep in. And the team really started to sour, not only on that work, everything, they started to resent her being chatty with people because they felt like she was wasting time. She wasn't getting to these other responsibilities they were asking her to do. And that went on for many months. And as I was learning that they, this just festered. Everyone was starting to complain to the owner of the company, and they wanted him to fire her. They were really lobbying. She's not pulling her weight. Well, he refused, and he's continued to refuse, saying that she is good at her receptionist role, and that's what he wanted her for. So despite the fact that they were resentful and that, you know, in part because they were drowning in their own work and feeling like she wasn't pulling that piece of it, one of the senior managers of the company stepped up, took it upon herself to have a conversation with the receptionist, very respectful, supportive conversation, finding out why the receptionist or what the receptionist was feeling about this whole situation. And turns out she felt awful. She was getting vibes. She knew that the staff wasn't feeling the value for her, and in fact, you know, the opposite. But yet she wanted help. But in brainstorming together, the senior manager and the receptionist, they found different tasks that this person could do effectively. And then it started to really shift satisfaction and sense of her worth. So the senior manager was out of her control. She didn't have any ability to say to this receptionist, you know, about her, whether she could stay or not. But she went out of her way to help make it work for everybody. So sometimes it just takes someone picking up the ball and addressing the issue and start the problem resolution in order for it to be effective. So that was just a really great illustration of how, even though you may not feel like you have control or authority, you can impact the situation in a way that helps everybody. So now let's look at the piece of that original question, going back to this individual who said, I just need to ride this out. She's resisting change. I'm not getting anywhere with her. It's just the way it is. And he kind of was throwing up his hands and saying, not dealing with it anymore. She is who she is, and just going to have to deal with it. So let's look at that whole idea of how do we get an individual to work through some change. When we have a person that's resisting change, it could be just their natural approach. The person might just be more cautious, less of a risk taker. They might prefer to just have more routine, consistent flow in their day. Or it might be that they just don't agree with whatever change you're trying to implement. So the first thing we need to do is separate the root cause, and that's going to help identify ways to move effectively through this. In the scenario where the person just naturally resists change because that's who they are, it's best to give the person lots of time to adjust. So begin to introduce the idea with lots of time to think it through without any unnecessary pressure or stress for immediacy or urgency around making the change. Time is really going to be your friend when you're helping a person adjust to change when a person doesn't, you know, doesn't want that, it isn't their style to adjust. Just talking about things way before they actually happen is very important. You can use language with things like saying, thinking about this idea, something that we might consider implementing in the future. So it gives the person some time to think, well, you know, what are the pros and cons, and helping them identify how they might move through it. Or you could also say something like, you know, at next month's reporting cycle, I was thinking of trying something with this report. So again, future concepts or ideas, it's very different than hearing, I want you to do this right now versus I was thinking of trying this in the future. That can really help create a sense of movement and flow for the person that it's less stressful. You also want to give them lots of reasons why the change is going to be taking place. So once they get the buy-in to the rationale, it's so much easier for them to get motivated to adjust to it because they understand the reason why it needs to happen. But what if the person just doesn't like whatever it is that you're trying to implement, say some change in a policy or process? In that scenario, you're really going to want to get their input as to why they don't want it. What are the obstacles that they see in this new way? And if they're the ones actually doing the work, chances are good that they're going to have really great insight and input that you'd want anyhow. Make sure that you're open to their feedback and allow those adjustments whenever you can. That's going to go a long way to building trust and helping them come halfway to meet you and the things that you need as well. But if you are at a point in the implementation of a process that they're resisting because they don't like the change, you really need to step back and think about the way the change was introduced to them in the first place. For instance, did you get their feedback from the get-go, or was that just forced upon them? And sometimes you can't control the latter, where you don't have control over the change, as we just talked about earlier on this very call. And if that's the case, you still need to work through their objections and help them see the rationale of the individual that did make the change. So here's a simple example. Something, you know, as basic as changing hours of support for a customer service team. So perhaps the organization has been regional in its coverage or in its reach, but they've started to expand to other parts of the country, and they just acquired a client that's in a new time zone, several hours difference. And that's going to require that this company have longer available hours that weren't covered before. And the owner of the organization has said, you know what, new mandate, need to have phone coverage for the customer service individuals now extended by 3 hours later into the evening. So we can make sure to be there when our customers are calling us from the West Coast. And one person on the team has a real issue with this because they don't want to work late. It causes some family issues with things that they need to do. So they don't want to work late at night. But as a manager, you have to abide by the new rule that your manager, the president, has set. But your team hates it, especially this one employee who's saying, no way, you know, it's not working for me. So it's not good enough for you to say, well, the president has said we need to do this, so that's that. Don't ever pass the buck and blame somebody else. Instead, understand the business need and work with your team to understand it too. Have them think about it from the perspective of the client. And in this case, you know, they're obviously going to understand why this was done. And allow them to come up with creative ways to staff the hours. So bringing their collective wisdom to the table is going to allow them to have the ownership of it. But letting them have the ability to figure out on their own is going to give them the flexibility and the freedom to adjust to this change in a way that it may not work perfectly for them, but it gives them the ability to make it work as best they can. And that's really important. And as the manager, you don't have to have all the answers. In fact, it's much better if you let them work through it versus you dictating certain hours for certain people. Let them decide, and you'll be so much better off with helping them work through this change. Resisting change is often just another way for somebody to say, hey, I wasn't included in that. So when you bring the person into the process, it allows them to come along with you, which is awesome. The other reason a person doesn't know or doesn't like a change or doesn't want to come along with a change could be just that they don't know how to do it and it can be intimidating. So helping them build skills, sometimes hard skills, sometimes soft. So in other words, it could be something specific like software skills, or it could be something behavioral like how to be more assertive in a particular position if that's what this change is requiring. So helping the individual be a part of the change, understand why, and build skills that they may need for the change are critical pieces of that process of helping someone get through change. And then thinking about this whole idea of change leads me to another question that came up last week. And this was about a manager was telling me about an employee, very competent in his work, but the employee was driving everybody on the team crazy. This guy wasn't communicating well with others. He was working on an island. Even though his work was very closely linked to others, he was consistently not including them on status updates or getting input. His own work quality was very good. The manager was very, very, very pleased with his own work quality, but no one liked working with him. So as you can imagine, it was creating just a ton of time on this manager's part to work through the ongoing conflicts that the team was always complaining and being irritated with him. And she said to me, this manager said to me, I'm getting a lot of pressure from my manager to fire him, but I just can't imagine how we're going to get the work done. So she and I talked through the two main issues, which was the respect for this employee's work, high caliber work. And so for that reason alone, she didn't want to fire him because he was doing good work, but she knew he was getting a lot that he was creating a lot of conflict with the team, and she was fearful of, you know, she was fearful of losing him because of the quality of his work, but also she knew the amount of conflict that he was creating within the team, which was time-consuming and detrimental to morale. So the first step was to make sure that the individual, and let's call this guy Joe just for this discussion. So we would just want to make sure Joe was aware of the turmoil and the role that he was creating in it. Sometimes people are totally oblivious to that. Even though it might seem impossible that they aren't aware of it, it certainly can be the case where they just have no clue of the turmoil that they're creating. So take steps to work that through with Joe. And at early stages, usually best talk through one-on-one between you and the employee. But at some point, you want to have a team facilitated conversation so that everybody has the opportunity to talk about how to set up ground rules for behavior, what's important to the team, what's not acceptable. And then once you have that list, prioritize it so that the critical ones are, being focused on. So once that's done, and if Joe still hasn't shown any interest of bringing along new ways of cooperating with the team, then it's possibly time to start talking about the discussion about how it's not a good fit. And there is no magical answer about what's the amount of time that I give to this. I know a lot of organizations have like 90-day performance improvement plans, and some have fewer, some have longer. There's no magical time frame. My feeling is 3 months is not a very long time, actually, to work through change. It takes a long time for someone to change. But we do want to see progress. We do want to see some movement in order to think that it's going to happen at all. So when you're trying to work through this decision about when to cut the cord with somebody because of an issue, it's really a matter of understanding the risk for not doing anything versus the risk of taking that action. But even when a person is highly competent, a disruptive attitude on the team is going to be counterproductive to everybody's work quality. And I think that's really important point to remember, because we often try to isolate it and put it into a silo of this person's work is exceptional, yet he's not getting along with the team. But if that team dynamic is becoming overly problematic, it's incredibly disruptive to everybody and counterproductive to everybody. But before making any decision to terminate, you need to ensure genuine efforts are made to find a good solution together. That's just really important. Building healthy workplace relationships takes time and effort on everybody's part. It's not a matter of fixing somebody. Lots of times managers will say to me, well, come in and we need to fix this person. But it's a two-way street. Building healthy workplace relationships means creating dialogue and conversation that's filled with respect for each person, along with the understanding of the needs of the organization. That has to be taken into account as well. So I'll end on that thought about the idea of we're not fixing somebody, we're working through this together, we're building dialogue and conversation built on respect and compassion for each other. If you're listening here today, I know that means that you have a commitment to your team, and I couldn't be happier to have you here on this journey where we can all learn together. And as you know, my dog Grace gives me plenty of opportunities to learn and practice the skills that carry over to the workplace. Having respect and compassion for others, learning to communicate in new and different ways, that is what leads us to healthy workplace relationships. And Grace and I want to help support you along the way. Old dogs can learn new tricks. So be sure to check out the videos in the Learning Resource Center. Remember to send along your ideas and suggestions for new topics. I'll be sending out an email about the next round robin, and I look forward to having you join in then. Until next time, here's to your graceful leadership.